Good morning. The scripture reading this morning, good to do that, is in Proverbs 1, and it's not opening. Proverbs 1, verses 1 through 7, and then chapter 9, verse 10. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. For gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables. The sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And we continue in chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Thank God for His word.
Thanks, Kim. Now, we all make decisions as we go about the day. Many decisions are automatic. We barely even think about them. But consider this, most of the decisions that we make are fundamentally not moral decisions, not right, wrong. They're not always black and white. For example, when you woke up this morning, did you have to think about whether it was a moral issue to press your snooze button once? Or twice, or three times? No, right? Or whether it was right or wrong to eat breakfast at home or to eat breakfast on the way to church? Was it a moral issue to determine what outfit to wear today? The late New York City pastor Tim Keller once said this, "Wisdom is knowing the right thing to do in the 80% of life situations to which the moral rules don't apply." For most of our decisions, there are four or five different options, and they're all moral. So if that's true, then what we need isn't just right morals, but wisdom for life. We all want strategies for navigating the complexities of daily life. Every culture wrestled with it. Ancient China had Confucius. The Greeks had Socrates and Plato and Aristotle. And today, we have self-help books in the bookstore, we have TED Talks and podcasts by so-called experts, and 30-second TikToks from life hack influencers. But have you ever noticed we live in an age of endless wisdom, or endless information, but very shallow wisdom? We have Google, but we still feel lost. We can ask Siri, but it can't seem to answer the deepest questions about our own lives. You see, wisdom isn't about IQ or titles or the kind of character. It's a kind of character. It's a way of living. And Proverbs invites us to pursue wisdom. Respected Old Testament scholar Derek Kidner once said this in his commentary on Proverbs. Proverbs is not a book for the complacent. It's a book for those who sense their need to grow, to be corrected, and to learn the art of godly living. So today, we're starting a summer sermon series, as Crystal mentioned earlier in the service. It's on the book of Proverbs, and we're calling it the Wisdom for Life. And so over the next few months, we're going to immerse ourselves in this book that speaks to the 80% of our life. Daily life, where the questions aren't always about right or wrong, but what is wise. Proverbs is an invitation to that kind of wisdom. Proverbs opens with this statement in verse 1, Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David. But scholars agree this book is a collection of Solomon's sayings, yes, but it's also wisdom collected from other sources, shaped over generations and collected into this book that we call Proverbs today. It's not a book that you plow through in one sitting, like Harry Potter or Lord of the Rings, where you keep wanting to get through the whole chapter. It's meant to be savored and reflected upon. So that's what we're going to do over these summer months. Slow down and hear this invitation to a life of wisdom offered by the book of Proverbs. And you'll find that Proverbs are meant to be savored like spiritual haikus. They're short, but they're dense. They hide truth in order to reveal it. And they require reflection. And Jesus picked up on this kind of tradition with his parables when he said, "Let those with ears to hear, hear." And if we allow them to, Proverbs, like Jesus' parables, are meant to read us as much as we are meant to read them. Proverbs are meant to read us as much as we are meant to read them. Take a look at verse 2. Who's it for? For gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight. The word wisdom here is translated from the Hebrew word chokmah. And it's more than just knowledge. It's more than it's skillful living. It's knowing what to do with that knowledge. One children's ministry pastor I work with shared this great definition of wisdom that I've held on to. So kids, your children's ministry teachers and adult nurture teachers are very wise, so listen to them. What she said, this particular pastor said, wisdom is knowing the right thing to do at the right time, all the time. Wisdom is knowing the right thing to do at the right time, all the time. How do we become wise? Through instruction. That's the word used here. Through practice. The Hebrew word musar, translated as instruction here in the NIV, also is translated as discipline in other translations, suggests correction and formation. It's the shaping of character that happens to us. So using our spiritual formation language here at WCF, reflecting on the Proverbs is a spiritual practice that forms us to be more like Christ. In other words, wisdom is just as much process-oriented as it is product-oriented. Wisdom is just as much process-oriented as it is product-oriented. So that means wisdom isn't an automatic thing that comes to you. You aren't born with it. You can't download it. And you can scroll through hours of 30-second TikTok rolls on life hacks on social media and never become any wiser. We also find that wisdom comes from being in relationship with others. In particular, learning from those who are a few steps down the road from us. Maybe it's the Karate Kid movies or the Star Wars movies. They are good examples of how wisdom is formed through time, over time, in relationship with others. Like Mr. Miyagi to Daniel LaRusso, or Yoda to Luke Skywalker. Wisdom comes to those who are willing to listen. So, one question then is, who needs wisdom? Verse 4 hints at it. The simple and the young. The simple and the young. Now, many of you might not feel like that, simple or young, but it's simply another way of saying the untutored. It doesn't mean the unintelligent. It means inexperienced. You could be 50, 60, 70 years old and still be simple and untutored in a particular area of your life. See, the simple are like dry cement. It's not set yet. The water hasn't been added. But Proverbs makes it clear, as we're going to discover through this series, you either become wise or you become a fool. You either become wise or you become a fool. And verse 5 tells us a fundamental characteristic of those who are wise. The wise are always learners. To be wise is an attitude as much as it is an aptitude. True wisdom requires humility. In modern terms, psychologists call this having a growth mindset, the posture of someone who's open to learning and change, as opposed to someone with a fixed mindset, where we believe that we've arrived and our understanding is set, there's nothing more to learn. If there's an area of your life where you thought, I've done the research, I've made up my mind, nothing's changing that, it's worth asking yourself, is that position rooted in wisdom or in pride? Is that wisdom or is it pride? And could that be an area where God is gently inviting you back to a posture of humility so that you can keep growing in wisdom? But put simply, if you've stopped learning, you've stopped growing. If you stop learning, you've stopped growing, and you've stunted, you put a speed bump on your path towards wisdom. Now, peel back the layers a little bit more on this idea of wisdom being a growth mindset, and we discover there's something even deeper at the core. See, the writer of Proverbs makes it clear. He said, there's one key characteristic that defines those who are truly wise. It's not intelligence. It's not your grades. It's not your experience. It's not success. It's this posture that shows up over and over again in this book. It's called the fear of the Lord. That's where wisdom starts. It's the heart of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But the fools despise wisdom and instruction. The heart of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. St. Augustine said this, it's necessary that we should be led by the fear of God to seek the knowledge of his will. It's like, what does it mean to be led by the fear of the Lord? So let me be clear here. When Proverbs talks about fear of the Lord, it's not describing terror, because that's one kind of fear, right? Being afraid of something. That's not what the fear of the Lord is describing. As if God is out to get you and is watching and about to strike you with lightning if you step out of line. Yes, that's a kind of fear, but that's not the fear of the Lord that's being described here. We all know what it's like to be driven by that kind of fear. Fear of being alone. Fear of what people think of me. Fear of not having enough. Fear of not being enough. I think we can identify with that kind of fear, right? Those kinds of fear, what do? They shrink us. They turn us inward on ourselves. They close us off from other people. But that's not this kind of fear. The fear of the Lord is different. It's not the fear that makes you smaller and smaller. It's this awe of that reminds you of who God is and how big God is. It's reverence. It's humble teachability. It's this natural response when we really see God for who God is. Holy, sovereign, loving. And we begin to see ourselves in right relationship to him. During my sabbatical, you know, many of you know, I rode my motorcycle across the country, and I one of the stops I went to, I hit like 9 national parks, but one of the stops was at the Grand Canyon. And if you've ever been there, you know that's a reverent place. You stand there and you look at, this is incredible. You try to take pictures of it and you can't capture that feeling. Or it's a feeling you catch when you stare up at the night sky and it humbles you and you feel, I am so tiny, I am so small, this is so grand. See, that moment of smallness, it doesn't diminish you as a person. It orients you in your place in the world. That's what the fear of the Lord does. And that, Proverbs says, is where wisdom begins. See, to fear the Lord is to know your place, not as insignificant, not as unworthy, but as dependent on the living God. To the fear of the Lord is admitting, God, I need you to live well. And it's resisting this inner voice that's of pride that says, I've got this. I'll do it my way, God. And here's the good news. Something we have that the writer of Proverbs didn't have. We stand on this side of the cross and on this side of the resurrection. We have seen the clearest, most stunning demonstration of God's love that the world has ever known. In Jesus Christ, his life, his death, his self-giving sacrifice, and his resurrection, these all invite us to a posture of holy fear. It's not a fear that drives us away. It's a fear that draws us closer to God. Because when we truly see Christ, when we see his humility, his love, and his power, we are moved to humble repentance. I don't deserve this, God. How could I deserve this? You are incredible. We're moved to humble repentance, and we're also swept into something bigger than ourselves. We're swept into God's story of renewal for the whole world. And that is reverent. That is awesome. That new orientation of your life, that vision of the world through the lens of Jesus, that should fill us with holy fear. And that reverent awe shapes how we live, our striving for justice, our compassion for the vulnerable, our care for creation. These all flow out of this holy and reverent fear of God. All of that isn't driven by pride or self-righteousness. It's driven by reverence, this awe of who God is and what the world can become in light of Jesus. This kind of fear doesn't make us smaller, and it doesn't make others smaller, especially those who disagree with us. In fact, it does the opposite. True fear of the Lord leads to more beauty in us, and more of God's beauty in the world through us. That's the invitation to the wise life. Not a life of prideful, nose in the air, I've got this better than you, stop being a fool. But it's a life lived so beautifully, so attractively, so deeply grounded in humility and awe of who God is that others can't help but notice and be drawn in. Doesn't that sound like the kind of wise life that you might want for yourself? I know I do. So what's the alternative to this wise life? It's the fool's path. In the book of Proverbs, fools aren't people who cannot learn. Fools aren't people who don't have intellectual capacity. They're people who won't learn. As the writer of Proverbs says in verse 7, they despise wisdom and instruction. The fool says, I know enough. I've got it figured out. But Proverbs makes it very clear. The posture you choose, humble learner or prideful know-it-all, that determines the direction of your life. Now, you may have heard this tragic story. I just saw it on Netflix this week. It's a story of the Titan submersible. Do you guys remember this story? It's this vessel that imploded during a dive to the Titanic wreck, killing all five people on board. And at the center of the story is Stockton Rush, the CEO of OceanGate, the company behind the Titan. And what's sobering about the story isn't just that it was a technological failure. It's the human pride that drove it. See, Rush was determined to make a name for himself, to join the ranks of tech pioneers like Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos. But rather than humbly listening to experts and learning from the cautious wisdom of seasoned engineers, and he was an aerospace engineer when he started this company, he dismissed concerns as obstacles to innovation. In fact, highly qualified engineers and staff left the company one after another after raising serious safety concerns. But Rush believed that he knew better. That boldness, getting to the market first, mattered more than careful wisdom. And he famously said, at some point, safety is pure waste. In Proverbs, that's a posture of a fool. Not someone who lacks intelligence, because clearly he was a smart guy, but someone who refuses to listen, someone who refuses to learn and exalts pride over prudence. And what was the result? A vessel rushed to market, safety protocols ignored, concerns dismissed, and in the end, disaster. He died with his pet project, taking along four innocent people along with him. In the book of Proverbs is clear. The wise listen, the wise learn, the wise walk in awe of God. They know their place before God and in the world. But fools, they despise instruction, they reject correction, and often they meet ruin. Stockton Rush wanted to conquer the depths of the ocean, but what he needed first was the depth of wisdom, the humility to listen and to learn. And may we not make the same mistake. So how will you respond to this invitation that God offers to a life of wisdom through the book of Proverbs? You know, this summer, as we walk through Proverbs together, here's one way that you can respond to God's invitation. You can begin this week. You can just start small. It's cultivating this posture of awe and reverence and teachability. So each morning this week, I invite you, start before you start your day, before you pick up your phone, start with one. Okay, maybe you can turn off your alarm when it goes off, right? But start with 1 minute of silence before you get up out of bed. Or if you need to get up out of bed because you're going to fall asleep again, do it next to your bed or on the chair. Just sit there in quiet for 60 seconds. If you can go longer, great. And just quiet your heart and read one of these psalms. Psalms 111, verse 10, or Proverbs 9, 10. They both say the same thing, essentially. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And as you do so, ask God, God, where are you inviting me to learn from you today? That's the beginning of a wise life. Proverbs doesn't promise easy answers, but it offers a starting point for us, the fear of the Lord, this posture of humility and awe. That's the beginning of wisdom. The only question for us is, will we listen and learn, or will we stiff-arm wisdom and God at the same time and settle for foolishness? Let's be that kind of community that chooses awe over arrogance, reverence over self-reliance, and wisdom over pride. Please pray with me. God, teach us the fear of the Lord. Humble our hearts. Open our ears to true wisdom, and form us into a people of reverence, of character, and teachability. In Jesus' name, amen.